Good morning. How are we doing today? So lovely to be here with you. We're returning to our series as we did last week, Psalms of Praise. Why this series? Because we ought to start every good thing, like the year, with the first and most important thing, which is praise to God. Praise to God because he has done great things, because he holds us, he holds this very second of your life in his hands. He's been doing a lot of planning. He is a great and marvelous God to whom we owe everything. And so we take a moment to say, thank you, God. We take a moment to say, I will put you first in all things in my life. Let's pray and we'll take a look at this very interesting passage before us. So if you bow your heads with me. Lord, we're thankful for your mercy on us. We're thankful for your grace. We're thankful that you are a God who is not unaware of how frail and needy we are. Is not unaware and can work with broken people like us. And I need you this morning. We need you. Help us to realize the wonderful power of your grace. Help us to know our condition and help us to know that you are going to do amazing things and redeem us. In your name, amen.
Amen.
So as many of you know, Ezra has been terribly sick this week. It's been fairly miserable. He had a fever briefly, but on the tail end of this fever is a rash that has basically covered his body in hives. It goes from being okay to being terrible. Usually it's fairly terrible during the night. But when it's terrible, there's been two nights that have been essentially agony for both us and him. And the reason is he itches so much that there's about 20 seconds where he's relaxed and then he needs to move. And usually there's like a shaking motion and then start of a whimper and then a cry. This goes on, well, it went on all night for two nights in a row. And it is awful. And so, of course, what did we do? We want the cure. So we went into the doctor's office. They said, oh, it's nice to see you, and oh yeah, we know about this, da-da-da-da, and so what should we do? And, you know, the doctor doesn't want to say nothing, but that's what we were told. We do nothing, you know, like, here, you can do the, take some paracetamol, okay, yeah, sure, that's, we do that, yeah. Make sure he gets lots of rest, okay, I don't know how that works, so, you know. Do nothing. You cannot fix this. Just wait. Wait. Endure. And eventually, his own immune system is going to kick that out, and everything will be fine. But you're going to have a miserable time, and that's just the way it is. You're just going to have to endure. Well, what does that have to do with the Bible, and what does that have to do with worship? There is an insipid lie that is being spread around Christianity. I see it all the time. It's usually given by people who want to become rich. And it goes something like this. Before you were a Christian, you were miserable and terrible and you're having a horrible time. And that was your due. But now that you've met Christ, everything from now on is going to be pain-free, easy. You won't be broken. You won't be needy. If there's anything you want, if you want it enough, it'll come to you. Which sounds a lot like New Age mysticism, by the way. It'll come to you. You just wait for it. It'll be yours. You should never suffer again. Jesus paid so that you would never, ever suffer. And then you look at the church, right, with this idea. You see depressed people, you see broken people, you see people in agony, you see people with conditions that they cannot cure, they cannot fix day after day, people trying to get to the place where they just feel good about their life and they can't do it. And then those people who bought into that lie walk over and say, you just need more faith. You just need more faith. All right, well, hopefully nobody does that here, right? And hopefully our church doesn't do that, but there are many churches that do that. And then we turn to something like this. And the Psalms are very interesting, actually. it's like, here's a person who day after day, their life is just falling through the bottom, right? It's just a miserable, tough time, day after day after day after day, and then finally, after years of this, they write it down. All of the frustration that they have, they just write it down. Do you know what my life is like, God, they say. And then God says, that's nice of you. Now let's put this in the Bible. Okay, that's what happens. And then we read it in Psalms. That's what we have in much of the Psalms. It's how to complain like a Christian, okay? How to complain like a believer. Do you realize how bad my life is, Lord? Do you see how hard it is? Do you not know what's going on? This is so tough. And God says, thanks for being honest. Let's put this in. And thus, we have in front of us. And we never see God saying, oh, stop that dribble. Pick yourself up. You just need more faith. Let me give you four rules. And once you apply those rules, everything in your life will be fixed. He never says that. He never says that. In fact, if you look at the Bible, God tells us more often to grieve than he tells us to stop grieving. He tells us more often to grieve than he tells us to stop grieving. And so it's really okay if you're broken today. I hope you hear this. I'm broken. It's okay. It's really okay. You don't understand. My life is falling apart. It's all right. Why is it okay? Well, because, well, number one, it's very probable that we are going to be broken. It's very probable. Number two, God permits this to happen to our lives. He permits us to be in this situation. And then number three, it has a purpose. It drives us to conversation with God. It has a purpose. So let's start with, it's probable we're going to be broken. We can relate to this, and the reason we can relate to it is we're going through something similar. Let's start in verse 3, actually. And let's just listen. I want you to hear his voice, the tenor of his voice in verse 3 here. My days vanish like smoke. My bones burn like glowing. My heart is blighted and withered like grass. I forget to eat my food. In my distress, I groan aloud and am reduced to skin and bones. Like a desert owl, like an owl among the ruins, I lie awake. I become like a bird alone on a roof. All day long, my enemies taunt me. Those who rail against me use my name as a curse. I eat ashes as my food. I mingle my drink with tears. I mingle my drink with tears. Who would like to feel that way? Later today, maybe? Okay, anybody here? Right? Are we up for this? So a lot of commentators, well, some commentators think that this is referring to some sort of sickness. But actually, I don't think there's any requirement to see this as a sickness. In fact, just looking at the top of the psalm, there's the little subscript. Can everybody see the subscript there? Okay, that's actually in the biblical text. That's not, you know, a later edition or anything. And that's at the beginning of the psalm, but they have made it a subscript or whatever. So here's what it says. A prayer of an afflicted one who's grown weak and pours out a lament before the Lord. Now, that word prayer for an afflicted one, that word afflicted is poor. Poor, like Jesus' statement, blessed are the poor in spirit, okay? Blessed are the humbled ones, the humbled, the weak, the poor ones. And so this is a prayer. It's a generic prayer. He's not telling you this was my prayer when I was here or when I was sick and this happened and that happened. It's not like David's prayers that has a specific situation. This is more like, here's an example for a poor person, a poor afflicted person. And then when it says he's weak, it's not necessarily talking about physical weakness. It's often talking about, I've just lost my desire to go on. I lost heart. You've seen this, haven't you? When someone just loses heart. And so, you know, looking at this, do you relate to what's here? Can we relate? It's poetic language, but I think we get the idea. Let's just walk through this. Vanish like smoke. the idea is something is there that is kind of meaningless, and then it's gone. Okay, that's what smoke is. It's just meaningless stuff that disappears. And he's saying, that's like what my life is, God. Do you understand? My life is like it has no meaning, and it's over now. It's going, it's gone. And have you ever felt that? That life isn't what you wanted it to be, and it's gone way faster than you thought it would, and it's going to be over soon. Oh, I can't believe this is what I got. And so then you know, he can't sleep. He's disengaged from the world. He can't sleep. He doesn't want food. And he feels dreadfully alone. And his picture is like an owl in the desert, right? Just like the one thing out in the middle of nothing. That's how I feel now, God. Have you ever felt that way? And there's physical effects of worry and anxiety going on inside of them, right? His bones are burning. Have you ever been so bothered that you have that electric feeling? I bet you have. You're just so bothered that it hurts in your heart. I remember I was once terribly anxious for... I have a secret for you. I've been horribly depressed and anxious before. Big surprise, right? Okay, anyway, I was so depressed that literally I would walk around, and when something didn't go right and I was already bothered, I would start going, oh, my heart. And I was really worried. I was going to have a heart attack for a long, long time. And I would like check my pain and go, am I yelling? Okay. I was blighted. My heart was like grass, mowed grass, just chopped down and thrown out to dry. My skin cleaves to my bone. It doesn't say, it says like the feeling of like just falling apart and you're just holding it together. People are gossiping and they're having a great time talking bad about me. I groan every day. I mourn. It's my constant. It's this constant is my food. I'm weeping as much as I'm eating. Can you relate? Well, probably not all of those, right? I mean, not all of those things define a spot in your life. But most of us here probably have had some broken moments like this. Where we go, oh, this is really hard. God, where are you? God, do you realize how bad this is for me? I'm falling apart here. I was thinking, actually, every single thing on this list happened to me at one particular time. You guys know that. When Noam passed away, this was my life, right? Every single item on this, I'm like, yeah. And we're actually meant to relate to this. We're meant to relate to this, and the author hasn't told us any specific situation whatsoever. There's going to be one thing that's a specific time note, but he hasn't given us any specifics. It's not his enemies that are coming after him. It's not necessarily a sickness. It's not... that he's done some terrible sin. It's none of those things. And the reason he's done that is so that we can relate to the suffering that he's going through. And what he's saying is, here's what broken people look like. Here's what they look like. And when you get there, and then we read that first verse, right? A prayer of an afflicted person who's grown weak and pours out their laments. So the idea is that they've gone through so much stuff. It's like a dam that is filled up the top. And finally, the author says, here's what you should do. Take all of your frustration, take all of your pain, take all of your worry and your anxiety, and just pour it all over God. Dump it out on him. And this is what we're to do, actually. This is not just here because there was a guy who got a sickness and he started praying and felt better. This is here because God is saying, I know your life is broken. It's probable. Your life is broken. You are poor in spirit. And when it gets to the point where you can go no further, come and talk with me honestly. Tell me how you feel. I was talking to somebody, and they said, they were talking about the pain that they had gone through. And they said, the words were, I've forgiven God. And they said, oh, I shouldn't say that. I've forgiven God. Right? But they're being honest. I've really been hurt. You know what? God would rather have that than when we go to him and say, I'm just going to give you what I think you want so you can give me what I want. And that's our relationship now. I don't want to have a real relationship with you. God says, come. And you don't need to be proper. You don't need to have things together. come and share with me your broken heart. Because if you live in this world, and you give it enough time, you're going to be broken. That's point one. Second point, it's permitted. It's permitted by God. God allows this. Look at verse 10. Because of your great wrath, for you have taken me up and thrown me aside. My days are like the evening shadow. I wither away like grass. So there are plenty of psalms that go something like, I'm not feeling so good, and my enemies are pursuing me, and let me tell you, it's really my fault, because I'm a terrible, terrible sinner, and I'm very sorry, God. Please forgive me, and I know you'll hear me. Okay, there's lots of psalms like that. Lots of psalms of David like that, where he says, essentially, I've messed up. God, I'm sorry. Yeah, I know you'll help me. Okay? But that's not what this is. There's no specific admission of any sin whatsoever on this guy's... He doesn't start confessing his sin. He just says, you're wrathful, you picked me up, and you've cast me. And the idea is, you know, unfortunately, I'm the recipient of very sorrowful anger from you. Now, we do know a little bit about the background here. This stating of words here reminds us of portions of Jeremiah and Isaiah. What he's talking about is he's in Babylon, okay? And why is he there? Because the Lord had judged the Israelites. Year after year, he said, I want you to turn towards me. And the nation as a whole said no. No, 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 no. They worshiped the same things that their neighbors did. They behaved just like them. They had all the same gods and the Lord. Okay? And God says, enough. I've warned you long enough. And he takes all of them and he moves them to Babylon. Now, I'm sure when those soldiers came in that they didn't start asking people, do you really follow the Lord? And so lots of people who actually were right with the Lord, unfortunately, they were picked up and they were cast out. And that's the wording here. Look where I am. I'm unfortunately receiving part of your wrath. But I don't know that I deserve it necessarily. I'm a sinner, but I don't know that I deserve it. I'm trying to follow you. And so what he's saying is, God has permitted, because the world is a terrible place, because there's sin, and because God is constantly in the process of removing men's sin and doing something, removing mankind's sin and fixing the world, that means that we suffer along with the world sometimes. We all understand this. For us who believe in the Lord, who've been forgiven of our sins, We're forgiven of the effects of that, and yet somehow we're still all going to die, physically. Why? Because God is still in the process of punishing sin, you see. Now, we will ultimately not be punished, but we're going to suffer in the process. And so, you know, what God is trying to tell us is that sometimes we're going to suffer. We're going to be broken. And that's just the way it is. It's just the way it is. Because this is a broken world we live in. And I was in a conversation last week. God often does this to me. Really intense conversation with some people who thought, and they were saying to people, once you meet Christ, you never suffer again. And you can do miracles and whatever to stop the suffering. This is the basic idea of their theology. Well, there's some other ideas, like you can have whatever you want if you pray for it hard enough, etc. Right? This sort of thing. And this is what Jesus died for, so that you can have a miracle. Okay? And so anyway, we're having a back and forth about this. And right in the middle of the back and forth, there's a church that's producing this bad theology. Okay? And at this church, and they all know about this church. They follow this guy. Okay? And at this church, the worship leader... Their daughter dies. She's 2 years old. She dies unexpectedly. Okay, now some of you may know what this is. You probably read about this. And so the church begins to pray for a week, they're praying for a resurrection at all their worship services. So they're praying there. And when you listen to what they say, they're not saying, oh, Jesus, if it's your will, raise this person from the dead. They're saying, such and such, come up from the grave. That's it. Just such and such, come up from the grave. We demand it. We demand it because... Because we don't suffer anymore, and God has confirmed that we're going to have any miracle we want, and we'll never go through any difficulty, and we'll never have problems we can't overcome. We'll never be broken. And you know what? Nothing happened. It was tragic, right? Nothing happened. Of course. God has allowed our world to be broken. I pray things like that. Okay? God has allowed our world to be broken. Sometimes God allows things inside of us to be broken. And they're not fixed. You know, they're not, they continue to be a pain and a struggle. And we say, God, this is like a thorn in the flesh. And God says, I know. I know. And I love you, but I'm not going to remove all the effects of sin from the world. It is what it is. I'm permitting this. So it's okay to be broken. It's probable that we're going to be broken. God allows us to be broken. God allows it because he's allowing sin to run its course and he's going to remove it, and that's painful. And then finally, there's a purpose. There's a deep purpose to our brokenness. And this is in verse 1 and 2. Hear my prayer, Lord. Let my cry for help come to you. Do not hide your face from me when I'm in distress. Turn your ear to me when I call. Answer me quickly. What is the benefit of being broken? What is the benefit of being broken? The benefit is you begin to talk to the person who isn't broken. You begin, in the aching of your soul, you start to long for something that the world cannot offer. You begin to desire things beyond what men are able to do. And suddenly you're talking with God. And suddenly you're having a conversation with him. Because he's the only one who can help. And that is the entire point. Because the one thing that you should never, ever walk out of life having not done is having a conversation and a relationship with God. But we would be tempted to do it if everything was perfect. We would be tempted to do it if we didn't have pain and sorrow and struggles that we could not handle. The aching of our soul drags us to God. I remember I became a Christian for pragmatic reasons. The reason was I wanted to be a good person, and I tried everything I could besides trusting God to do it. And it failed. And then suddenly, I'm talking to God. I never talked to God. I never thought about God. He was off in the distance. For a time, I didn't believe in him. I was talking to God because he was my last recourse. And I'm so glad that I was broken enough to be able to pass. Thank you, God, for wounding me so severely that the only way I could be better to go to you. And here we have the psalmist saying, help me. And God says, this is the point. Now we're in a relationship. Now we're talking. It's so far better to suffer and be broken now and then talk with God than to be flying high and everything's great and then find out at the end of your life you have no relationship with God, and that's the way it's going to stay forever and ever and ever. That's terrible. I would gladly suffer a bit for that. Now, one last point on this. Christians have it in their mind that nobody should be, everyone, you shouldn't be sad. You shouldn't be depressed, you. You shouldn't be down. You shouldn't have any problems. And my name is Mr. Fix-It, and I'm going to fix you up. Welcome. Go on my new project. Yeah, let me give you some sage advices. Here you go. Do this. Do that. Oh, I've been where you've been, and I fixed me. And I'll fix you, too. Give me 5 minutes. Okay. Listen. This is horrible, and we do it all the time. Who has not played Mr. Fix-It in here? Or Mrs. Fix-It? Who has not seen someone suffering and said, ha-ha, buddy, here's what I did. Let's go. Woo! And then what happens? I mean, it's like playing a song in a storm, happy music in the middle of a rainstorm. And it's guaranteed that it's going to hurt your friendship. It's really going to hurt. Why? Because you can't fix the problems that they have. You're not their salvation. Who is their salvation? Everyone? The Lord! And He wants to be their salvation. And He would prefer that you not play a starting role in that activity. He wants you to point to Him and to keep your mouth shut. Because you just messed it up. Show them Christ. One thing I can tell you, for every suffering person, no matter what they're going through, I promise you, God loves them, and God wants to help them through what they're going through, and you can't do these. So don't.
So this is part one of Psalm 102.
The next section is really glorious and beautiful and wonderful. This has kind of been down, but I really wanted to put out the big point, which is, are you broken? It's okay. Are you broken? It is okay. Let's be broken people together. And you know, some of us are going to be minorly repaired. Some of us are going to be fully repaired, sort of, during the course of this life. But the salvation is in the Lord. So let's not judge each other. Let's not look down at each other. Let's not be that kind of person that doesn't understand when somebody is feeling mopey yet again. We say, why didn't you pick yourself up? Because life is hard, that's why. And God has allowed it to be hard. And God has allowed it to be hard because He wants you to be with Him. Instead, what? We come before the Lord and we say, our salvation, we are here and we want to see You. The Lord of the world, the only one who can solve the deep issues of our hearts, the only one that can put us back together, and You do so in Your timing for Your glory because You love us. Two applications. The first is, I'm shattered, how do I come to church? I'm shattered, I'm broken, how do I come to church? I hear this all the time. I really wanted to come, but you know, and then all the stuff, right? That's gone wrong. I can't even will myself to go to church. I feel so horrible about who I am as a person or the situation or that situation. Or I just send a whole truckload and I'm not going to show up to church after that, right? Which they usually don't say that. I usually just have to find that out. The thing is, guys, if you are broken, there is a place for broken people. And it's right here. Are you struggling to hold it together? Day after day, nobody knows how hard it's just become. And then you think, oh, can I go to church and put on an act? How about go to church and don't put on an act? And look at God and say, here I am, and only You can save me. And I am going to worship You like You are actually the salvation of my soul. Because that's what You are. Not coming to church and saying, I've got it all together today. Let's see all the other people who have it together at church. I wonder if I can convince them that I have it more put together than they do. Coming realistically before God as the source of your life and your hope. That's the first thing. We can worship, we can praise when we're authentic like that. The second thing is, and we need to say it, perhaps you've not had an honest conversation about the brokenness of your life. Let's just be honest. There have been some tough things for all of us, haven't there? And you haven't had a conversation with God. You've been quiet. It's like God is like that person in your family that you don't really talk to. You just smile and wave at and say, hello again. How have things been? I don't like you. Okay? And that's how we treat God. He really ruined me. Do you know what God has done to me? Look, that's what He says here. Look what You did to me, God. Look what you did. That's what we need to say to God, you see. God is able to handle that. Now, we do this respectfully. And what I mean is we don't curse God. We don't tell Him He's evil. He's not evil. He's loving. But what has happened has been very hard. You guys need a moment where you can talk to God and say, listen, this is where I'm at. This is what's going on. This is how I feel, God. I need Your help. That's the sort of prayer that God doesn't say no to. And it doesn't mean that it happens instantly. But you can guarantee, it is a guarantee, God wants the conversation. Open your mouth, talk with Him. He will do something. He wants to.
In a moment, I'm going to pray. I want you to think about that. Actually, I want you to do more than think about it. I want you to be honest in a way that you couldn't be honest. I want you to be so honest you might say something in your head now that you would never say out loud to all of us about the brokenness of your condition, about your life and how it's going. And you just have that honest conversation where you say, this is where I'm at, God. And you say, please, be my salvation. And let's all not judge any others anymore. Let's be a broken church full of life and hope and love. Let's pray, and we'll have that moment, okay?